Do you ever wonder what the will of God is and how you can know it? I think there are a lot of people out there in the world who believe that they know what God's will is and want to tell you. At least I've met a lot of folks like this, and they range all over the spectrum of goodness. They're the obvious bad actors who tend to yell about hurricanes being God's will to destroy gay people in Miami. But there are good ones, too. My favorite cook at my seminary regularly pulled me aside from the lunch line to prophesy greatness over me, right there in front of everyone. And I loved him, even as I was embarrassed and also knew that my destiny was for small things. In the evangelical church, sometimes people would receive a word for someone else. This happened to me lately, actually. A woman who attends the Assembly of God church across the street came over to tell me she had a word for me. As she spoke it, I recognized it as scripture and finished by quoting the next verses from Jeremiah back to her. Might have killed the mood. What I am saying is that this claim is, at its best, it's not so far from having feelings about situations and checking in with people, right? You and I couch it a little differently. Episcopalians are more shy about claiming, you know, God has placed you on my heart, and more likely to say, you've been on my mind. But they're essentially the same thing. An act of love and attention meant to help someone as they find their way, and from a divine source. But say you want to exactly define the will of God for a problem you have. The early Christians often used chance to decide, believing that the dice or sticks being thrown were a purely neutral territory that God could use to point them in the right direction. The first disciple after the resurrection, chosen in this way. The first king of Israel, Saul, was chosen by lot. Some Episcopal churches choose vestries by chance, every eligible member's name put into a hat and then drawn out to decide who will serve. No joking. Still others believe you can know the will of God by looking at how your life is going. Unfortunately, this is mostly backward looking. If good things happened to you, it was because you were favored by the Lord and blessed. If bad things happened to you, it was because you were being punished for your sins in order to put you back on the right track. Most of the Old Testament was written by a group of Jewish people who were following God and had lost everything they loved. They wrote stories with a strong line of reasoning that they and their ancestors had sinned and were being punished. You can see the logic of serving an omnipotent God and finding yourself in slavery. To be fair, you and I can see how being better people does make our lives and worlds better. But you also see Jesus upend this kind of thinking when he looks around at the blind and the lame and the diseased and says, they haven't sinned. But all of this assumes that God has some kind of cosmic blueprint for your life. A master plan hidden away that you are moving toward or away from in whatever way you choose to live. John Calvin from the 16th century is Christianity's most famous proponent of this belief. He claimed that the elect were chosen by God before their creation, and he would later be pushed to the logical end of that belief as well, that those who were damned were also foreknown by God and therefore created in order to suffer eternally. This belief that some people were created in the knowledge that they were to spend eternity in the torturous dark of hell presents a serious problem for anyone who believes that God is entirely good. Now, our friends in the room here with Reformed or Presbyterian roots are thinking right now that I have butchered this telling of you about John Calvin, but there's always coffee hour to correct me. For my part, I buried a child last month. Someone else's, of course. And his parents were worried about having a Christian minister officiate because of our well-known claim that a loss like this was God's will. I assured them I would never say that, because I do not believe it. I have never believed that death is a part of God's will, and will never believe it. In fact, what's most clear to me about God's will in our world is that God is not getting God's way around here. This is self-evident. This world does not work, even by our very low and broken human standards, the way a good God would want it to. The story we Christians tell over and over and over in Scripture is that God keeps trying to guide us, to change us, to move us, that God eventually takes it all on, enters the story himself, takes on the problem of death and sin once and for all. God's intentions are toward the good. So how do we find God's will to get there? You know, St. Augustine is interesting here. He says that time, you know, the time that we are all in, is like a memorized poem that God, who is outside of time, is reciting a line at a time as we live. I like the metaphor and would take it a step further. Poems have structures. They're boundaried by with rhymes and meters. They have intent. If someone hands you a heroic epic to read, you know the good will win in the end, but you will not feel that way as you read the impossibility and despair the good faces as the poem unfolds. God allows us to be co-authors of his poem of time. We fill out the words ourselves. But God has set the form and structure and declared what kind of poem it will be. The arc, we've been told, will be comic, not tragic. I first read Paul's letter to the Thessalonians as a teenager, that age when the question of what the plan is for your life is a uniquely pressing and anxiety-producing one. Did you catch the passage Eddie read earlier? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So plainly put, I memorized it as a teenager in church camp, and now whenever I reach a point in life where I wonder about God's will for me, I repeat, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Paul keeps going. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, also known as read the Bible. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Abstain from every form of evil. You know, it's not a blueprint or a map with directions so much as a disposition. When your anxious mind clamors about what to do, this is a way to be. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And watch the poem take form as you help to write it. All of eternity looks on eagerly for the completion of this masterpiece of God.